It's Sunday, it's 5 o'clock, and that means it's time for another Featured Artist Profile. This is a great show. We have an opportunity to interview some of the hottest names in Christian music from around the globe. Sit back and enjoy an interview with them. We'll get to know the artist a little bit and then hear one of their CDs cover to cover. I know you'll be blessed. I always am. Right here on Radio323.com. Well, thanks for joining us for another Featured Artist Profile. This week we have an awesome guest. I'm so excited about having this person on the show with me. And I will tell you before I announce who it is, forget it. Many of you already know it, so we'll just say it. Carrie Jobe is on the air with us. Carrie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I was going to go into this whole thing, like, you know, this is what she's done and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? People already know because I've sent out the newsletter and they know you're here. We're giving away a couple of your Christmas CD. And I'm excited about it. It's called Bethlehem. And you released it a couple years back. But, you know, Christmas songs never lose time. And neither do worship songs. You've got some amazing stuff on here. And God's given you an amazing voice. I want to take some time to get to know you a little bit. I want to hear about who Carrie Jobe is, when you started, how you got into this deal.
Yeah. Well, I currently reside in Texas in the Dallas area. And I grew up here, but my parents traveled a lot when I was young, and so I would go and be in these precious, amazing little churches all around Texas and Oklahoma and stuff. And so my parents would have me sing, and they just thought, oh, this is just so cute. And but starting around the age of between 10 and 13, I just started getting extremely impacted by worship music and the worship music at our home church, and would just watch everything. I wanted to go to every night of worship, every worship conference, anything that had to do with worship and worshiping God. I was like, I want to go. So I just began to have this little cultivated heart for worship and for what God wanted to do with people's hearts and bring healing and life and wholeness and speak to people. And so I really knew, I think probably between 13 and 15, that I wanted to have something to do with worship for the rest of my life. And just kept being involved at my church. And we would travel a little bit when I was a teenager and with our youth group and go minister and do mission trips. And I would lead worship there. And I just loved it. I loved every second about helping people connect with God. And so when I went to college, I wanted to do that. I went to Oral Roberts University, and I really went to check it out to see if they had a worship team and what that was like. And I just loved it. Left there kind of in the middle of my junior year, went to Christ for the Nations Bible School here in Dallas, which was really what started it all. Between that and my home church, Gateway Church, I just got to start really leading worship full time and experiencing what it looked like to have people connect with the Lord in a real intimate and deep and passionate way of hearing God and listening to what he had to say and not being rushed with time. And so here I am, just still pursuing that, loving what God does when we lift his name, and began to write in the process of it all. Really, I wrote when I was 13, but I kind of took a break from it. And I really didn't write again until I was like 20. And God's just been using that in my life as well, of just writing music that can help people express their heart to the Lord.
Well, and I want to talk about that. I want to go back to a couple of things, and then I want to get into when you talk about, you know, what God does when people lift his name up. Now, there's something really special there, and I can see that there's something that's really special going on at Gateway. And we'll get into that. Yeah. When you went to Oral Roberts University, though, I want to go back to that. A lot of people have this, you know, what does a Christian college look like? You know, especially maybe for a young girl. I have a daughter. You know, I think about things like that as my daughter gets older. You know, we're looking at putting our kids in a Christian high school right now, and we totally desire to. We love the freedom to express their faith and their commitment to Christ. When you go off to a Christian college like that, a lot of people think it's just absolutely, you know, going to be the perfect, everything is, you know, Christ-centered, Christ-focused. And I know maybe from the school's perspective it is, but is it really that way on campus? I mean, are there pockets of, you know, maybe a, gosh, I don't even know how to call it. Are there pockets of darkness that you experience, and how did you deal with them?
Of course there are. And it's just like living in it. It's life. And because the enemy is, I think he attacks us more than non-believers at times, because he doesn't want us to know the truth of who God is. Mm-hmm. And if he can affect our lives and get in there and try to build soul ties and addictions and sin and all of that, then it begins to steal from our purity and our worship. And, you know, so, yeah, of course there are, but you just have to overcome that and know what God has called you to. And, you know, especially for high schoolers, people in, you know, even junior high kids that go to Christian schools, just you have to learn to stand strong and know why you love the Lord, and know that that is really one of the hardest seasons you'll ever go through, is being a teenager and standing for who you believe in and why. And but it'll make you stronger, and it made me stronger, because I went to a Christian school up to like eighth grade, and then I went to public school, and I think it's a miracle that I survived, because even, you know, just people knowing you believe in God, why, and just questioning me, and me having to stand up for why I love Jesus, but it built who I am now, and it'll be part of your story, part of your journey, and it's just life. I hope that there's opposition, because that really builds who you are, and it helps you build your testimony and your stand on why. You know, we need to know why we believe in the Lord, because we got to help people understand and come to Christ as well.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, we're so blessed that all the Christian artists we deal with, and, you know, it seems like we always get to some realness, and that's the realness I wanted to hear from Carrie Jobe, is that the question of why is what you have to say. You have to be ready. You know, you have to be ready to give an account and explain why. Why do you love Jesus? What is he about? And I love hearing that from you, and I'm so glad to hear it. So
one thing real quick, too, is people will always ask that, and I think sometimes we can be, like, lost for words, and then we feel defeated of, oh, I missed my opportunity to really witness to this person, and they didn't really want to hear what I had to say. But if we can just sow seeds of hope, for people to know God is hope, his love gives you hope. And, you know, then ask them, do you have hope right now? Like, do you have a peace in your heart that you have hope to stand on if things crumbled before you? And they will usually say to you, no, I don't. Because that makes them think, I don't have something for tomorrow. Today I feel kind of good, but I don't know about tomorrow.
Right.
And that begins to kind of make people question the future, and that's what you want. So, anyway, it's just a small idea.
No, I'm glad you threw that in. And it actually, you know, it makes me, I'm going to go off key a little bit here and say, you know, it makes me think of, I've got a friend right now who is a very young man, and he's, you know, he's struggling with cancer, and the doctors have given him an extremely short time to live. And, you know, he's in his early 20s, and, you know, he's not a believer that I know of. And he's an awesome guy. He's got lots of friends and lots of people that are praying for him and everything. But that's a good question for him, right? Is does he have hope now? And how do we share that with him? Because in that kind of situation, some people don't have hope, and they probably wonder, well, why would I be in this situation? I mean, why, you know, we don't know all those answers. And as a believer, it's really okay to be in that I don't know place. Sometimes the commitment to Christ alone, standing on his truth, is enough to share that, you know, I don't really know the answer to that one right now, but I'm committed to the Lord, and he does give me hope, and he does give me joy and strength and comfort. And, you know, and I want people like him to know that. I mean, there's a guy who really needs to hear that, you know? So, let's move into something the reason that we would have you on, obviously, is it's a featured artist show. We're talking about music, worship music. And God has truly blessed you. I don't say that to give you the praise, obviously, and I know you wouldn't receive it. I can tell that. But he's gifted you with an amazing voice, some amazing people around you that also can sing and perform. You know, when you recognized, obviously at a young age, that you were going to be doing this, did you ever really see, you know, how strong of an impact you'd have as a young, you know, teenager maybe?
I had no idea. I mean, and I still don't. I'm blown away by what God is doing. I still picture myself as this little girl from Texas who just loves to worship. And if it hits me sometimes of what God really is doing through my life, it really makes me just weep before God. Cause it was a dream. My dream has always been that I could just impact people in a way that helps them to say things to God that they wouldn't normally say by themselves. People that are in such a place of hurt and confusion and feeling bound up and feeling even closed, and that their mouths are closed and they don't even know how to express to the Lord where they are, to be able to write music that could just help them just to say that to the Lord or pray that to the Lord. And so to hear that that's happening and that people are writing me and emailing and Facebooking and Twittering and, you know, however they can get a hold of us, just saying, man, God is doing this and that through the songs. And it just blows me away because God hears us. God hears our desires, and especially when we want to do things that impact people for the kingdom of God. The Lord is so blessed by that. And so the fact that he does want to use your gifts and your callings and, you know, your heart for the Lord. And I just think it's amazing. I think it's amazing that our God will use us to spread his message and to help people feel his love and his comfort and his life and hope. That he'll use us. You know, he doesn't have to. He didn't have to do that, but he does. And it's just pretty amazing.
Yeah. Amen to that for sure. Well, and got to your point where you said you know you still feel like this little girl from Texas, and you know that's part of the whole thing, right? I mean, God used ordinary people to start sharing the gospel. God picked ordinary people out of ordinary lifestyles and common trades to, you know, to make an impact on this world forever and ever, for all eternity. And now he's using this ordinary girl from Texas in an amazing way. And you know, I want to go to, there's this amazing video out there of you doing Revelation Song at Gateway. And it's the coolest thing about that video to me is this: it's the audience, and it's almost like a little picture of heaven to me. You have these very young people worshiping, and it's not just that they're singing along because they know the song. I mean, the video of the crowd is so powerful in that there are young kids that are just praising the Lord and singing their hearts out to him. And it's so evident that that's really what's going on. It's not just, hey, we sing this song because we love the song.
Oh, I can hardly watch the video for weeping. It's just it's precious to me. And I know most of those kids, so it's really sweet. I love that, you know, and I believe, I get to travel a lot, so I believe this is going on in many, many, many churches all across the world. But there's a new sound happening with worship, and it's people who are really fully present while they're worshiping.
Yeah.
And it's a sound. It's a sound of desperation. It's a sound of trust. It's a sound of faith. Because people are really understanding that we can take God at his word, and he is mighty, and he is great, and he is love, and he is peace. And I grew up in a generation that, I mean, it's fine, it is what it is, and it was a season for the church, but everyone was learning how to get off of the hymnals, and everyone was learning to really not even get off the hymnals, but just to take what they were singing and really believe it. And yeah. So some people were starting to write things like Kevin Prosh and Dennis Jernigan, and these guys were starting to write stuff that this was a fresh sound. It was a new sound. It was something from people's hearts that people could see and know those people, instead of it being, you know, from the 1800s or things like that. And then now we're at a new season, a new precipice of worship, where people are just wanting the presence of God. They don't even care what song they're singing. They're just saying, God, would you just come and move in this place? And it's precious, and it's a big responsibility to lead that kind of a generation who can see straight through you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like they can see, and they, I've heard this said a couple times from even my generation of, it's a nameless, faceless generation. Mm-hmm. People are not really concerned with what your name is. They'll honor you, and they'll say, man, we just love your worship, but we love what God is doing through your life. And when a lot of people say things, you really start to listen. And that to me just says that we're living in a time when people just want the real, and they just want God, and they just want his presence. And so it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm talking to younger people on the interview today who are listening, who just feel called, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know this person. I don't have this or that. Or no, if you have a desire for God to move through your life, then God's going to use you. And it doesn't matter. This generation is just hungry, and they just want real, and they want authentic, and they want you to just give them Jesus. And so, let's just be a generation that does that.
Yeah, and that's encouraging, and it's there's something to that I probably haven't really thought too much about, and that's that, you know, with music, with the entertainment business as a whole, right? There it used to be to where everybody would seek that for the stature, for the financial reward, and that was even evident in the 80s and 90s in music culture overall, especially in the secular marketplace, where that's one of the things that people just sang about all the time was the financial reward, the status and everything. Now, especially for a Christian artist, I want everybody to be successful, and I know that God will bless those that he wants to bless financially, as long as they use it according to his will. I really think it's the most wonderful thing, but, I shouldn't say the most. We all know that that's not true, but it's wonderful. And, you know, the thing that's different now, though, is with the availability of your music through iTunes and downloads and videos like on Tangle and places like that, you know, it's not the promise of financial reward anymore, and there is a transparency to who you are up there. And it's just, hey, I'm singing because that's what God wants to use me for, and he's working through me, and it's not all about this status or reward anymore. It's really about truth and what's coming through the music, because everybody has access to it. So how can you use that in the most profound way? You know, I think that that's a...
Right.
I think it's important, and it's a sign of where we're at. And maybe music now is the best vehicle, you know, to share who God is. Media certainly is the way to impact multitudes at one time. So music is a great way to go through media and, you know, and just really impact the world for Christ. It's a great vehicle.
Yeah.
So let's go to, there's two more things I want to talk to you about. And I do want to encourage all of our listeners to go to carriejobe.com. You can follow along with what Carrie's doing, where she's going to be, new music. You've got a new project coming out in 2011. You're doing some writing and recording now, I'm guessing?
Yes, I am. Not recording yet. We're planning that out, but a lot of writing. So
good.
Getting ready for it.
Good for you. And then right now we're approaching Christmas, and we're giving away this week your CD Bethlehem, which you wrote a while ago, but you know, this is just great music. I mean, who can argue that at this time of year to hear great Christmas music and take it in the spirit of, you know, what it is, real worship, the celebration of Christ's birth. What a great project this must have been to work on. Tell me a little bit about Bethlehem and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I did it a couple years ago, so it's not as new as I would like, but I'll probably be doing another one real soon. I just wanted to do a Christmas album and put some of my favorite Christmas songs on there, and so we just jumped in the studio and made it happen, and it's been really sweet because it's just a sweet little gift that I can use during this, you know, during the holiday seasons for people, and just to also have more worship, Christmas worship stuff out there from someone who just loves Jesus. So.
That's good. Do you and your family have big plans for Christmas?
You know, we don't. We tried to make big plans, and I think that God's just helping us to kind of take a break. So we're just kind of chilling and hanging and enjoying a break.
Well, good for you. Good. Well,
yeah.
We'll be prayerful that you'll do that. Well, we're going to listen to this CD in a few minutes. The last thing I want to talk about, though, is kind of getting back into something that's really important and dear to you, and also I have a place in my heart that God is working on for this same kind of outreach, and it's involving the issue of human trafficking today. And you have there's a ministry that you support, or at least I don't know where your role is in it, but you can tell us about it at A21. Let's touch on that a little bit and talk about it, because it's such a relevant, important issue, and I think it gets underscored, or maybe not as underscored as it needs to.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a big, big crisis and epidemic in our generation of this whole human trafficking, slavery thing, and just trying to do my part to be aware and help people be aware and to help get girls out of the slavery. And so there's a lot of ministries that are starting, and which is good because it's so big, it's going to take everybody to help. And so just the one that I'm involved in is called A21, and it's Abolishing Human Trafficking in the 21st Century. And the founder of it is Christine Kane. She's from Australia and does stuff with Hillsong and travels all over and speaks and all that. But she started this a couple years ago and is a good friend of mine. So really I just help support her and help raise money to get these girls out of slavery and into this home that she has where they're helping get them reacclimated to society in a godly way and get healing and help. And it's really a scary time because it's, the money that's coming in from this thing is so massive. So you know that there's a lot of people involved, and it's kind of scary being a girl, honestly, during this time, because you have to be aware that that's going on and not be stupid. And with the amount of traveling I do, it's just, I'm always trying to be aware and just raise awareness to other girls and people that this is real. It's really happening and it's terrible. We've got to not only give to help people, to help these ministries, but to also pray that God would have mercy and to help these people find him so that they'll stop their businesses of having this available for people. So
right.
It's real. It's scary.
It is. It's real. And it's huge. I mean, it is huge. And I just wanted to touch on it for a minute. Again, we're about to play a Christmas CD, and I really wanted to, I want to end on some nice, you know, comfort news and talk and everything. But this is a big issue, people. And it's so critical that all of us are aware of it, so that when the opportunity to get involved is there, that you take it. Yeah. And I know many of us are committed to so many things. And we might feel like, gosh, we're not called to that, or we're not called to this. And so many of us might say, well, you know, I do my work here and stuff like that. And I'm going to say, God calls us to every area that pulls people away from him. God calls us to every mission field, each one of us, and God calls us to this. And when there's something going on that is so detrimental to the advancement of his kingdom and its purposes here, then he is calling us all. And we have to be aware that this is happening. And I just want to tell everybody, A21 is one ministry of many, as you said, Carrie. Yeah. And, you know, there's such a need for people to be involved in stopping human trafficking. Yeah. It is slavery today, and it is...
Yeah.
It is terrible, and we've got to get involved. So that said, going into the Christmas season, and this, you know, this coming week will be Thanksgiving, and you know, we'll all give thanks for the blessings that we have, but let's be thankful for where we are, yet let's be cognizant of the places other people are so that we can get involved and help them. Let's be thankful that God is using ordinary people like Carrie Job and, you know, other artists out there to be able to be a voice for issues like this, and to be able to still lift our voices together and be a leader in the area of praise and worship, so we can address issues, we can be involved, we can make a difference, and we can then come together and worship the Lord together through song and praise. And it's an amazing thing that God's blessed us with the ability to do all these different things, to be involved, be active, and recognize that there's joy in all of it. And we can express that through praise and worship, which we're going to do when we hear Bethlehem. And I think I'm actually, Carrie, going to play Revelation song as soon as we're done with the interview first, because I think the song is so powerful and so moving. Weird, because it's like, unlike any other worship song out there right now, to me personally, You know, like you said, it's hard to watch that video or even hear the song without weeping. With, you know, there's something about that song that God is he's just really put his hand on it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, can I pray for them before we go?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
All right. Absolutely. Well, God, we thank you so much for who you are.
Yes.
Lord, that you're mighty, you're big, you love us so dearly, so deeply. And you are for us, Lord. Your word says if you are for us, then who could be against us? Yes. So God, we just align our minds today with the truth from the word of God that you love us. And God, we ask you for peace and wisdom in every walk and every area that anyone needs today as they're listening to this. God, I pray that just at the sound of my voice, Lord, that people would just feel your presence and that they'd feel drawn into your presence, drawn in to spend time with you and to get perspective from you and to find what they need in your presence, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you're a God who is moving and active in our lives.
Yes,
Lord, you love us and that you want to speak to us and give us your love and your help. And we just love you, God. You're so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're so good. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen. Thanks, Carrie Job.
Absolutely.
CarrieJob.com, Out of the Park, great interview. I appreciate your time so much. I know you're busy, and we're all thankful. And
I'm
sure our listeners, as well as me, will be very blessed by this interview and getting to know you a little bit and the music we're about to hear. And we'll all, we can lift our voices together now. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Carrie. Amen.
Absolutely. Love you guys. Bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Sing a new song to him who sits on